going to do Psalm 119. So if you all read aloud, remember that God is listening and God is watching. I can't tell you enough how much I love God, how much I love this Bible, how much I love the Word of God, how much God has changed my life and done in my life because I allowed Him to. I opened up and gave Him myself completely. And that's when God really does miracles in your life and in your family's life too, when you really open up and let God lead you instead of us leading God. Amen? And I can't tell you how much the Word of God has blessed me. And when you read this Bible, it's like He's talking to you. When you start to read the Word by yourself, you feel like God is showing you something. And I always tell my friends that Mr. Wigglesworth, a pastor who I loved from England many years ago, I read, he said all the time when he opened up the Bible and started to read, if it didn't make anything different, didn't touch him, didn't move him at all, he said, just change the page, find something else where God can talk to you. Amen? That's the power of this Word. So we're going to read the response of reading 119. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to His word. Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You guys got to come more often. This is beautiful. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Hallelujah. Boy, that was great. How can we get these people here every week, Joanne? Did you hear that? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Can we give them some joy this morning? Can we praise God in this house, please? The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We're going to do the Advent now, and I just want to explain Advent, Latin word meaning coming. That's what the word Advent means. It simply means coming. The waiting and the celebration of the nativity of Jesus. Now, the nativity is a funny word. It just simply means the occasion of a person's birth. That's what it means. So when we say the nativity of Jesus, it's simply the birth of Jesus. Amen? This is the season of Advent, begins 4 Sundays before Christmas. Now, the Protestant church, the Catholic church, Congregational church, all believe that for 4 weeks before Christmas. It's the Advent waiting, and then Jesus coming. Amen?
This is a scripture from Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight to the desert a highway of our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You want to light the candle? Today we light the candle of hope and expectation. Let this candle remind us of the great hope we have in Christ the Messiah and in God's promises. As we light the candle of preparation and peace, let it remind us to prepare our hearts to the coming of the Lord. Father, we are filled with joy because we have hope and peace that you have sent your Son for all that believe. Help us to be the voices that proclaim grace and truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now Mary and Joseph.
Joseph, we have a couple named Joseph and Mary in our church. We really do. I know. And she's a Cowboy fan, and he's a Giant fan too. So, how many years you folks been married now? 39 years. So, see, it can work. See.
The scripture for today is from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For us, unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
As we wait. Yeah. Oh.
We light the candle of hope and expectation, recalling God's promise to send a Savior. As we light the candle of preparation and peace, remember the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." May our hearts be forever filled with the joy of His coming.
Okay, and then this prayer will be, well, you can't do it in unison, so all three of us will do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Father, we are filled with joy because we have hope and peace that you have sent your Son for all that believe. Help us to be the voices that proclaim grace and truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph and Mary. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Deacon Chuck, for setting all this up. Can we give them some praise, church? Hallelujah. It's not easy. You know, it's fun for me. I've been blessed by God. I've been in the music business since I was 17. I've traveled all over the United States. I've been on stage in front of thousands of people. So standing here talking is part of what I've done all my life. But when folks, you all know, if you never get that chance to get up and say something, your knees start to shake. You get a little nervous. And I mean, I get humbled every Sunday, and I get nervous I'm going to say the wrong prayer. But it's just so great to see other people just coming up and being brave enough to do that. Amen. Because it's not an easy thing to do. Especially when you're reading and you want people to feel what you're saying and what you're feeling. But I believe in the house of God, we all need to stick together. We all need to help each other and lift up. The Bible said the least of us, we need to make the strongest. Amen. So that's just what we do, some of the things we do in our church. Praise God. And now a celebration. Hallelujah. I've been excited about this. I want to read some scriptures to you before we start. And in Psalms 127:3, listen to what it says. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. It means children are a gift. Amen. They're a blessing. From who? Hallelujah. Proverbs 22:6, and this is a great one. In Proverbs, Solomon tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up, in other words, we have an obligation, amen? We have a job to do. Train up a child in the way he should go, and this is beautiful, when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I am an example of that, brothers and sisters, I'm going to explain to you. When I was a little boy and a young man, my mama took me, I was a member of St. Mary's Church. Anybody ever been in a church here in Derby? The Catholic Church, I went to that church, catechism, communion, and confirmation, and it planted seeds inside of me about God. When I went to that church, they were speaking in Latin at the time. Obviously, I didn't know Latin. I didn't get a lot from it. But I knew my mother wanted me there, and I know those seeds that were planted were something that would stay in me. And my mom has never saw me as a pastor. I know she's watching from above. But those seeds that you do plant in your children, when you talk to them about God and you tell them about Jesus and the love of Jesus, those seeds really, you might not see it in the early ages, days, but trust me, that word really gets in there, and it'll grow at the time it needs to. Amen? So you need to trust God with that. And I'm going to read something about children. And Matthew 18, it says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, then who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said this. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Let me say that line again. Listen to this, what Jesus said. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. And then Jesus says this, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depths of the sea. Hallelujah. And then in Mark, it says this, in Mark 9:38, now John answered him saying, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbade him, for one who works a miracle in my name cannot soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Amen? Hallelujah. Then they brought little children to him God is so good. You have no idea how good he is. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked him who brought them. Imagine that. They brought little children to Jesus that he might just touch them and hug them and bless them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. What was he? Greatly displeased. And he said this to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Hallelujah. I wanted to share that with you before we started the dedication, because I don't want you to be... We call it a dedication here because we believe that royal is a blessing from God. Amen? He's a gift from God. So what we're going to do today is simply offer him back as a blessing, saying, "Thank you, Lord." We're going to dedicate him back to God. Amen? And if you know, some churches have a different name for it, what they call it, and it's all the same. We're going to bless and ask God to bless this child, and we're going to ask you all to join in the blessing with mom and dad and the grandparents. Amen? Because we believe that this is a wonderful time where we can all grow closer to God, and you'll understand why when we finish the dedication. But I want to ask Roy and Jen to come up, if they would.
With Aubrey.
Yep. Aubrey, come up with them. And would you come up, Bride, with me, please? Thank you. Come on, Aubrey, Roy, Jen. Praise the Lord. Hi guys, just stand on my side over here. Do you remember when you did this, little girl? Praise the Lord. Understand what the word says. The children are a heritage from God. They're our heritage. It's a blessing from God. Now I want to ask the grandparents, if you'll stand up. I know Joseph and Karen Cobalati. Joseph and Karen, would you stand up so we can see you? And hallelujah. Bernice, Don, and Brian Reynolds, would you stand up? Hallelujah. And Phyllis Mikus, would you stand up, Phyllis? I had to run up for a friend, Dave Mikus. I played ball with. I know it's Mikus. Dave Mikus would just, that was stuck with me. And we want you to celebrate this with us, because all we're doing is dedicating this baby to Jesus. We're going to give back what God has blessed us with, and then we have an obligation to do. And Roy and Jen are going to have an obligation, and you're going to have an obligation. Amen. How you doing? Hello. So would you come over here and lift up the baby to God? Hallelujah. And we'll pray. We receive Roy Jr. Hallelujah. Not Roy Jr. I'm sorry. I thought he would. I know, Roy the Third. Yeah, Roy Joseph Di Giovanni the Third. Hallelujah. Bubba. Yeah, they call him Bubba. Hallelujah. We receive Roy Jr., Roy Joseph, and this day we dedicate him to you, Lord. We dedicate him back to you. We are truly humbled by this gift, by this blessing, and we accept the responsibility, Lord, to tell him about you, to lead him to you, to teach him your word. It's the responsibility of all you standing and all you folks here and all you love him. It's your responsibility. You need to teach him about Jesus. It's your responsibility to tell him about God and the Bible. Amen? To lead him to your word, Lord, and to love him and to guide him each day. And then I would ask you this. Let us all come together knowing we set the example for what he will do and what he will follow. And let us draw closer to you, Lord, as we raise this child as part of the family of God, because he is the most of the kingdom of God. Amen. He's a little child, and we just read what Jesus said about the little children. They are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Give him praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. It is your responsibility. We dedicated him to God, but God bless you with him and bless you with him as that gift for your future, for his future, is for you to teach him the word of God so that he can grow strong in the ways and things that God will bless him with and hold him with. Look at that face. Hallelujah. And grandparents, I know we have 5 grandchildren and 4 of them in Tennessee. My wife doesn't get to see them enough. I know her heart just aches to be with them. So I know the love that you have, because I'm a granddaddy too. So it's on you to raise Aubrey and to raise Roy and the way that he should go. Tell him about God. Bring him to church. Don't be afraid to tell him about Jesus. Don't be afraid to show him the Bible and tell him some wonderful stories that God has done for all of us. Amen? Let me say that, for all of us. Can you say that with me? For all of us. God has done that. So it's our obligation now, and we just dedicated him. Amen? So don't be afraid of that, what we're saying. We're just giving him back to God because God has blessed us with them. Hallelujah. Be happy. God bless you. God bless you. I keep calling him Junior because you got JR, but it's backwards. And I just have to say to you,
thank you.
God bless you.
Bless you too.
I know you're worried about the Yankees because they got Stanton, but you'll be fine. You're going to be fine. The price was right, and you can sort of say we got them on sale.
Most of them are Yankees fans.
Oh, yeah.
You've been out to church.
I heard them laughing. That's right. We have a Boy Scout troop here who's been here for 100 years. I haven't been here that long, but with Troop Tree been here, and they went to Yankee Stadium last year, and Thurman Munson bobblehead doll day, and they went and they brought me Thurman Munson bobblehead doll back. And when they come here for this thing, they see all my Yankee things, and they can relate with me. You see, I think it's important as a pastor to let people know that we can talk together about all sorts of things and real life things, amen. We don't have to just talk about God, and we don't have to talk about serious things. We can talk about life, and in that talk about life, we can lead people to happier things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a big day today, Greg.
Yeah.
How you doing, all right?
Good.
Praise the Lord.
Knocked over the plant.
I know, I saw you knock over the plant. I wasn't going to say anything, though.
It's all about the same.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's all about that stuff. That's too funny. Thank you, Lord. I believe when you come to church on Sunday that whoever's speaking, whether it be a priest, whether it be a rabbi, whether it be a bishop, be a pastor, reverend, I believe that when you go to church on a Sunday, something that the man says on the pulpit should touch your life individually. Amen? Should touch you individually. If it doesn't, you have to pray more for God. Say, Lord, did I miss it? I always say when you come to church, you should be stronger when you leave than when you entered. You should be hungrier when you leave than when you enter. And I believe that comes from reading the Word of God and listening to somebody who's talking to you about God, where it really affects your life. Right, Deacon Sergio? I really believe that God's Word changes things when you allow it to. And there's things in the book that are so beautiful, but this book was not made to attack anybody. Can I get an amen? I'm seeing that a lot lately with people arguing all kinds of things on TV. This book was not made to attack each other. It was made to heal each other. Amen? This book was made to love and for us to be stronger together, not apart. Amen? When God gave us this book, it was about our families, about our life, our hardships, and our disappointments. They're all in this book. Amen? And I believe that when you come to a church and you listen to somebody preaching, you should hear something. Even if you thought you knew everything, when you leave, you should hear something new, because it's my belief, if I read one page of Mark and I go back the next day and I read the same page, that God is going to show me something different, because this is called, ready? The living word, amen? And if this is the living word, God can show me something that I didn't see the day before when I'm willing and ready to receive it, amen? That's important to know, when you're ready to receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And there's parables. Anybody ever see the parables? Anybody know what parables are? I'm sure you do. Hallelujah. Parables are stories. And who told those stories? Anybody? Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus told those stories. And I've heard some people say, well, you shouldn't preach on the parables. And I said, well, maybe not. But if Jesus said it, how can I not preach on it? Amen? Because the parables were about life. Those parables were about you and me, amen? So when you read them and you start to open up your eyes to see, you realize, hey, he's talking about me. When I lose something and I find it, I'm excited, amen? When you lose something and it meant a lot to you and you're looking and looking, when you find it, you remember the joy you had? Amen? And those are the parables. So I want to read one today, if I may. Can I do that today with you? Because this is a really powerful one for me. This talks a lot about family. How many know it's hard for families to stay happy together? Amen? Let's be honest. I mean, we say this in church all the time. You forgive your friends sometimes much easier than you forgive your family. And I have to admit, and it's my mother, bless her heart, she's in heaven with Jesus. I mentioned that. She's an Italian. Any Italians here today? She was mad at her sisters for 15 years, wouldn't talk to them. If I asked her why, she didn't remember. But she held on to that anger. She held on to being mad about something. So this parable teaches us so many wonderful things about us. And I want to read it today. It's in Luke, and it's 15:11 it starts. A certain man had two sons. How many sons? Oh, you got you. And the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided them his livelihood. He's telling his father, "Give me everything that's mine because I'm going to leave. And what's mine?" And that was the way the tradition was. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. He went and got hired on as a job, and that citizen sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. He had lost everything he had, amen? His father had planned things for him, had things for him, and he took it all and he wasted it all. Can I get an amen? He was so poor, he said he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that he was feeding the swine. He said, but nobody gave him anything. But one day he came to himself. Hallelujah. He came to himself. He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Imagine how he's humbled himself. He went back to his dad and said, "Look, Dad, I was so bad and I sinned against you. Don't make me a son. Just make me a hired servant. I'll work for you. I'll do my job because I know how well you take care of your servants." He said, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way away off, hallelujah, this just makes my tears come up. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. He had what? Compassion. Who has compassion? Jesus. Who has love? Jesus. Jesus taught us that. Compassion. When he arose, he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. I can't even imagine. And he ran and fell on his neck. Means he hugged him. And he kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. Now his older son was in the field. Uh-oh, brother time. Hallelujah. Sort of like David. Anybody remember David's brothers with him? How they mocked him for being just a shepherd and they belittled him in front of people. Hallelujah. I think because they were jealous, if you ask me. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came in, he drew near to the house. And he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry. What was he? He was angry. And he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattest calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." How much? that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Hallelujah. How does this sound like us? That story is you and me. Let me tell you how I come up with that. How many times in our life has God forgiven us our trespasses? Wrapped up his arms around us and poured his love. How many times have we fallen short and then asked God to forgive us, and God did what? Brought us back to where? To him, amen? To his love. How many times did he ever get mad at us? Never. How many times did he call us names? Never. He loved us, amen? We see this as a simple story. Yet we live our lives learning how great God is. How many times we fail. In this story, we learn compassion and not anger. We see a father's love for his child, and we see compassion. We learn to love and to not hate. Let me say that again. In this story, we learn to love and not hate. We learn that in this life, hallelujah, that in this life, without forgiveness, not only are we lost, but those we love the most are also lost to us. Hallelujah. This story teaches us about forgiveness, which is the greatest gift we share. This story teaches about compassion and about love of a father. And just as you love our Father in heaven, and many times you've fallen short, and thank God he's accepted our, hallelujah, when we confess to him that we fall short. When we get on our knees sometimes, you got to get on your knees. Sometimes you feel so distant that you want to cry out and get on your knees. But that God in heaven forgives us. He lifts us up. He takes us back in his arms, just as this father took his child back, because he was lost and now he is found. Hallelujah. I pray this morning that you receive this message in your heart for forgiveness. I pray you receive this message in your heart to have compassion, to have understanding, to be like Jesus. When you come to God, you want to be more like God. When you read his word, you want to be more like God. When you come to church, you want to let people see that God inside of you. I wrote something down one day. We should never have to tell anybody that we're a Christian. Think about that for a second. You should never have to tell one person that you're a Christian. You know why? They should see it on your face. They should see it in your smile. They should see it in the words that you use. They should see it in your love for each other. Even when you disagree, and I know I disagree even with my wife once in a while. Imagine that. But I love her with all my heart. And those times are times we can draw closer together. We need to do that with our friends. We need to do that in this world together. I believe this world would heal if all of us would just forgive each other. Amen? I believe that if people just forgive past offenses, no matter how long, 150 years ago, 100 years ago, if we just forgave those past offenses, we'd have nothing but joy left. Because if you forgive somebody, it's gone. Amen? And when you forgive them, they're free to love you back. Amen? So again, we learn compassion and not anger. We learn to love and not hate. We learn that in this life, without forgiveness, not only are we lost, but those we love the most are also lost. We don't want that. So I pray this morning that you hunger for more of God. I pray that you feel this morning that you heard something that made you feel closer to God, that you heard something that moved you to want to know more about this God. Each Sunday should be about you and God. So read his word. When you read his word, you let God talk to you directly. Because he loves you so. In Jesus' name, give him praise, church.